Well, praise God. It's good to see everyone again, be back with you. And Happy New Year to everyone. Reed shared something with me this morning that he'll probably be mad at me for sharing, but that's all right. I think he pointed out that a couple years ago, I had had a word of the year, and the word was perseverance. And he said he hoped that this year my word would be peace and prosperity. So, praise God. But this is an interesting week because it's actually today that we begin a new year. And always when people think of new year, we tend to think about the year that's passed and what's happened and good and the bad and think about the future. And people react in all kinds of natural ways to that. You know, you've got people that are control freaks. And, you know, somehow life has taught them that they need to be in control. And that's the only way they can get through and not have to be afraid of everything. And then you've got other people that just cower in fear. And other people that just hide and go with the flow. But, you know, I believe God has better for us than all of those natural human reactions. And somehow over the last couple of weeks, I've continually had one very familiar scripture come to me, but it's a phrase out of that scripture. And of course, it's in Hebrews chapter 12. The word perseverance is in there, but that's not the one I was focused on so much. But basically, well, let's just read the scripture. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And the phrase that just kept coming to me over and over again was the race marked out for us. And I believe with all my heart that God wants that to become so embedded in our thinking that we live accordingly. We don't just run in our own strength. We don't just make our own plans, but we literally entrust and believe every day in the reality that God has a plan. How many of you believe that God has a plan for your life this year? That might be a decent title, God's Plan for This Year. But I believe it with all my heart, and I believe God wants us to get that. And you know, I was thinking it's true corporately, it's true individually. But you know, if you start standing up in front of a lot of churches and saying, God's plan for this year, what they mean in a lot of places is we've got a committee together and we have really laid out a plan for the church. We're going to have this building program, we're going to start this other program, we're going to hire somebody to run it, and we're going to grow this church as though numbers indicates God's favor and God's blessing. You know, Jesus, many times he had the crowds, but I'll tell you, when he was really speaking the truth and getting right down to brass tacks, that's when the crowds left. I want everyone that the Lord brings to be a part of his people. I thank God for the remnant of his people in this hour. But this church is not about a 5-year plan. It's not about anything except walking with the Lord and looking to him and trusting in him. Well, of course, you got a lot of others that just, they're the go with the flow people. They're going to take one day at a time and just live their lives. And, you know, on one level, there's a truth to that. But if we do that disconnected from the Lord, then all we're doing is professing faith in him, but just basically living our lives and then coming in on Sunday morning and sort of acknowledging him a little bit and then going back to our lives. God wants us to actively, consciously look to him, understanding he has a plan for your life this year, and he wants us to walk in that plan. I'll say it a whole lot of times this time. God has a plan for our lives individually. And I just pray that God will help us to remember that this place, this race, is something that God has set before us. You have it in some translations. He has literally laid it out. We don't have to figure out our lives or where we're going. Life is not about what we can get out of this world and our plans and our and here and what we do here. It's all about serving Him and finding out His plan and His purpose, because He has a destination in mind. We serve a God who has planned everything from the foundation of the world to have a people who are fully prepared to live with Him in a perfect creation. I want to be part of that. That's what my life, that's what needs to define my thinking. And this is where I feel like we all can do better in this. We need this reminder. So many things have been said and sung this morning. Thank God, they're right on point. There's so many thoughts I've had. I'm trusting the Lord to bring them out. But one of them I found interesting. And that's the fact that the word race has a meaning in the Greek that we don't normally associate with a race. Now, yes, there are races where we think of them as in long-distance endurance races where perseverance and not giving up are important. But a race is one thing. The word race in the Greek here is agon. It's related to the English word agony. It's not just, it's more of a fight than it is just a simple putting one foot in front of another race. It's something that in which there is opposition, where God wants us to go against the flow to serve Him, because this world is headed pell-mell in one direction, and God has called us to turn around and go in His way. And part of what He has designed for us is that is a fight. That's why Paul described the Christian life as a fight of the faith, meaning that if we're going to really believe God in an active way, not just a mental assent, but if we're going to have a practical everyday faith, it's going to have to go against things that are adverse. We're going to have to stand against all kinds of challenges. And the fact is, there will be challenges this year. I wish I could say, oh, God's just dictated that we should be peaceful and prosperous. And, you know, preach the prosperity gospel. If you just have enough faith, God will fill your bank account and give you perfect health and nothing bad will ever happen. Well, that's not the gospel. That is the exact opposite of what he's describing here. Because he uses Jesus and the life of Jesus as the perfect example. And I mean, do you think Jesus' life was planned out? Or was it just happenstance? Did he just get up in the morning and see what would happen? Every single day he looked to his Father. And God helped him to have enough wisdom and discernment to know what to do and to have God's help in doing it and to say, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. See, our life is not about doing what we want in the natural. Now, God is he understands our wants and our needs. Didn't Jesus say that? He knows what you have need of. He's concerned. He takes care of the sparrows. He knows how many hairs are on our head. So it's not a matter of God not caring, trying to, you know, make our lives miserable. But it is about preparing a family to live with him. And part of the preparation means a people who are going to make choices to serve him against opposition. There's something that is accomplished in our lives when we walk that kind of a path. And God has set that before us. And I just pray that God will burn that truth into our hearts and our eyes, our minds. You know, he begins with the word therefore, as we pointed out many times, and therefore means we need to look back and find out what he is basing this on. Because he says we have a great cloud of witnesses. Now, what's he talking about there? Obviously, he's talking about people who have been down this road and understand what the principle is, and they stand on heaven's shore, and they're able to give their testimony, I lived my life for him. I served God. I went against the flow of what this world is about. And I'm here to tell you it's worth everything. You have no idea what lies ahead of you if you will choose this way. Oh, my God. and look at our lives and look at the things that we had to stand up against. Sometimes God gave us great victories, and some of us gave up our lives to serve the Lord because it was worth that much more to serve Him and to lay down life in this world and give it up and to possess what lasts forever. Praise God. May God help us. And you know, he goes back into chapter 11, which we, you know, one we've referred to many times. But somehow my mind went back to the end of chapter 10. Now, you know, the writer, and I've said many times, or several times, I think, I had a professor in college who was convinced absolutely that Paul, one thing he knew for sure, that Paul did not write this. I'm actually inclined to agree with him, but regardless, God gave it. God inspired this. And the burden of the writer was, on the one hand, to encourage God's people to really lay hold of everything that God had given us in Jesus Christ, because he's given us everything. You know, he spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Now he's spoken to by Jesus Christ, his Son. And he's given us not a temporary covenant, but a permanent one. We don't have priests that go and offer blood day by day. We have one sacrifice once for all. We have everything we need in Christ. We have one who has promised that he is able to save to the completely those who come to God by him. Why? Because he is always alive to go to heaven, go to the Father for us. Praise God. That's the call, that's the vision, that's the finished work that the writer wanted to convey. And part of his reason for doing that was to encourage those who had laid hold of that. But it was also to warn those who had stopped short. This book is not about people who get it and lose it. This is about people who have become acquainted with the ways of God. Maybe they've tasted, they've been among the people of God, they've tasted things and seen things, and somehow they've never been able to let go and say, I am his come hell or high water. My life is laid down. My faith is no longer in me or my righteousness or my ability or what I want out of this world. My faith is 100% in him. I have given him my heart, my life. It belongs to him. I'm trusting him for the cleansing that I need, for the power that I need to be what he wants me to be. My life is no longer my own. And he describes that at the end of chapter 10, coming into this chapter in faith. And he says, but my righteous one will live by faith. Verse 38, he's quoting the Old Testament there. The ones that God views as right, as being right with him, are those who live by this thing called faith. Okay? And I take no pleasure in the one who does what? Shrinks back. Then he says, but we, now he's addressing the believers, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Praise God. And faith is a conviction, it's a confidence in what we hope for. That is, I have perfect confidence today in what's been sung about this morning, that God has made a place for me that I could never deserve, never earn on my own, never become a part of that, but it's mine because Jesus bought it with the price of his blood. Oh, praise God for the perfect salvation that he's given to us. Thank God. But he has implanted in my heart a confidence in that, an assurance about what we do not see. I cannot see these things with natural eyes, but they're real in here. Now, one thing that's interesting to me, he describes what faith is in here and it gives examples of it, but you jump back to verse 12, or chapter 12, and he answers the question, how do you get this? Where does this come from? I mean, am I a child of Adam, able to somehow look down in here and find this thing called faith and just bring it up and use it and rely upon that? Is that what he's talking about? Absolutely not. Because he talks about, he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and who is he now? The author, the pioneer, and the perfecter of our faith. In other words, he's telling us where faith comes from. Where does faith come from? He's got an author, doesn't it? He has got to put that in me. He has it. He has everything I need. I don't have this thing called faith. I don't have what it takes. So how do I get that? What does the Word say? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. And he's not talking about simply correct doctrine and words out of a book. He's talking about that time when God speaks. God literally, now it may come through the lips of a person, but I'll tell you what, when God speaks, there's something that happens. There's a power that is released. Same power that created the worlds is released in a willing human heart. That's what you've got to have. You've got to have a heart that says yes when he speaks. It's like the soil that Jesus described. It's good soil. It gives itself completely to that seed, and the seed bursts forth into life, and there's a power that wasn't in there before. And it has a power to change one's destiny. Boy, I need that seed planted in me. But thank God, that's not the end of the story, is it? Praise God. He's not just the author. He's the finisher, the perfecter. The one who has promised that when he gives me that power to believe God, he's going to nurture that. There's a life that's going to continue to grow, and I'm going to become more and more what he wants me to be. And it has an end, and he's already guaranteed the end. Thank God. It's something that's always beyond my power. But I'll tell you, the examples that he gives, the ones who are shouting from heaven's shores right to us today, saying, listen, This is God's word. I've been there. I've been where you're at. I've been in places you may never be. But I know that God is faithful. I know that his word is true. And I know that my life was defined by believing God. Okay? What does that mean? All right? And he gives many examples. And I thought about some of them. But one of them has jumped out at me a number of times lately. And I guess, in part, you know, my mind recently went back to the scripture or the article that I wrote many years ago now on Be Ready, and I kind of rewrote it just a little bit, just slight adjustments to it, and I believe it's going to come out again in the next MCM. But one of the characters in the Bible that Jesus took special note of when he was talking about his coming was Noah, wasn't it? He describes the time leading up to his coming as like the days of Noah. And as we pointed out many times, there was a destruction that God had decreed. God had basically marked out a day on his calendar and said, on this day, I'm going to destroy every land-breathing creature, every person, every animal. But there was one man who found favor with God. And his name was Noah. And what were the characteristics of Noah's life? You talk about faith. What does faith really come down to? Well, first thing it comes down to is a very simple statement. Noah walked with God. Noah didn't just sort of generally believe in God and say, yeah, I want to be a good person, so I'm going to live my life and just, he's got this. I'm not going to worry about anything. There was a conscious standing against a wicked world and saying, I belong to him. I am walking with him. In other words, that's a lifestyle. That's a characteristic of the life. I am one who walks with him. All right? So I believe what the Lord wants me to get this morning in a deeper way, is God wants our lives to be defined by what we're talking about, not by what your profession is and your family and your qualities and your achievements in the world, but by this one, whatever they may be. God may allow many things. But there's one thing that absolutely makes all the difference in what God is seeking to do in this hour, and it's the same thing that Noah needed in his day. He simply walked with God God did God mark out his path? See, did this apply to him? You think God had a path for him to walk? God called him to live in an hour that's a lot like ours. The world was shutting its ears to God's voice, closing their hearts to everything he stood for. And here's Noah, not just hunkering down and going through his daily routine. This was somebody who says, God, I need you, and I'm walking with you. I don't care what the devil does with the world. I don't care where they go and what they stand for. I'm with you. And that's signified by not just walking, but walking with. That means I'm on your side 100%. Isn't that what God is calling us to do? Folks, if we're not on his side and with him 100%, where are we? Where are we? If there's some part of our heart that's still attached here and we can't just let that go, oh God, help us to cut loose everything that would hold us and bind us to this world so that come what may, we are the Lord's. End of story. May God give us that kind of conviction that Noah had. It took everything for him to stand. We don't have all the details of what it meant to live in that time, as far as how it affected him. But I mean the simplicity of what God says about him. Noah walked with God. Wouldn't that be a nice thing for the Lord to be able to say about every single one of us? So-and-so walked with God. So what did that mean? That meant that when there was something that he needed to know, first of all, his ears were open. You know, we talked about that recently. There was someone who had a capacity and a desire to hear what God says whenever he says it. Now, I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again anyway. God's not a chatterbox. Hearing God doesn't mean he's just constantly spitting out words in our minds, but there are times when he does speak and he wants us to have an ear that's tuned in and says, yeah, that's him. I recognize that voice. Do you believe God can help us in that area to where we recognize his voice when he speaks? Now, he's put us together so that if there's a deceptive voice that comes along, there's a safety factor in there that we're not just running off into never-never land listening to our own voices. But I'll tell you, there's a God who knows how to speak to his people. Do you think we need to hear what God would say? If you try to define your future by what the news media says and what we see happening in the world and all the what-ifs, all the scary what-ifs, it's an uncertain world. But what the Lord is describing here has no uncertainty in it. It means that though I do not know all the things that are going to happen this year, he does. And he has absolutely planned them, and he's planned them for my good. Think about that. I mean, how many times have we looked at Romans 8? We know that in how many things? All things, he works for the good of those who love him, who are the called, invited. Invited what? According to what? Whose purpose? His purpose. That reminds us that though the world seems crazy, out of control, we don't know what's going to happen next. God has a purpose that he is working out. Something he foresaw before the world was. I heard a preacher one time say, rightly so, there are no emergency meetings in heaven. God's not going to say, oh my God, oh myself. I sure didn't expect this. We've got to figure out what to do now. God foresaw and planned everything for us with you in mind. I mean you and you and you and you and you in mind. He's not left you out. You know, I was thinking about a jigsaw puzzle. Some of you like to do them or have liked it one time or another in your life. And you know, the puzzle's not complete until that last piece is put in there. And do you know, every one of us, and some of you are laughing because you struggle to find that last piece, or it's lost, or somebody's hiding it and playing games. But that puzzle's not complete until that last piece goes in there. And you can't take something else and force it into place. Everything has its place. Do you see a little bit of a parallel? How about a big bit? Of a parallel in God's plan. Every single person that He calls into His kingdom is being shaped to fill a place that no one in all of history has ever been able to fill. What an amazing God that we serve. And that's not to exalt us, but it's to let us know that we are worth everything to Him. We're worth the price that He paid. And it's not that He found such wonderful things in us. It's just the heart that reaches out to do for us things that we cannot even imagine. The power of His love and His plan for us. My God, I want to walk in that. I want to live my life conscious that God has a plan. He's working it out. But again, Noah, the characteristic of his life is so simple. Wouldn't it be good if we could think in terms of our own life? Am I just walking with God? Is that the characteristic of my life? Or am I just going to work, doing this, got my plans, going to build a house, going to do this, going to do the other thing? But the one thing it comes down to is just, are we walking with God? Are we walking with Him as a people? I believe in a great measure the Lord has given us the grace to do that. But all the things that we could, the pitfalls we could fall into in that regard, we've talked about them before. I mean, you think of how many groups out there are there where God made Himself real to them at some point in their history, and what happened? It became a form. It became a tradition. It became just something they did, as though the key to having God's favor and God's blessing is doing it right. We believe the right things. We do the right things. We come together and we just keep doing the same stuff, and God will show up. Until you look at the letter to the Laodicean church, and you discover a church that outwardly was doing all the right stuff, and Jesus was outside, wasn't He? I pray that God, we're not immune. We need to come every time we gather, and every day when we pray for each other, and say, Lord, I thank You for everything You've done in the past, but today is another day. This is another year. We cannot simply go through the motions of doing the right things and expect You to show up. We need You, and we want You to come and help us and lead us and be the one who dwells in our midst, and then the one who gives us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, because that's what happened. There came a time when it wasn't just enough for Noah to walk with God and everything was cool. God had something that was unfolding that required Noah to do something. Faith was not simply a mental belief that he had. There came a time when Noah had to do something, and so the Lord spoke to him. Praise God. And how many times do we squeal when the Lord talks to us? Well, we all do. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Anyway. Praise God. That's okay. That comes with the territory sometimes. We've all been there. We've all done that too. I've told you one time or another about the time when my mother, who was playing the piano, and my dad was the preacher, and I was like this, and I wasn't behaving myself. And she got up from the piano, walked back, took me by the hand, walked me outside the church, and spanked me. I needed it. Then she walked back in and sat me down and went back to the piano. Anyway, and there came a time, though, when Noah needed to hear something. God had something that required some action on his part. You know, there are things that are going to happen in our lives where God actually wants us to do something. Now, you know, one of the other, I talked about the problem in religion where the men make their own plans. I mean, you got two ways that this can happen, and people can get off track. One of them is just, oh, well, we know what to do. We're just going to come and do it, and God will show up. The other one is, we're going to make plans. But another one is this. Hey, the tradition is not working anymore. We got to do something, so let's entertain people. Let's do what, you know, all these other things that people come up with, human innovation, trying to make something happen. God, we don't need something to happen. We need Him. There's one thing that God is looking for, people who will walk with Him and keep their ears open and listen to Him. And so that was the next thing. Noah walked with God, but he heard when God spoke. The rest of the world was clueless, but he heard what God spoke. And in more than one place, after it describes what God's instructions, it just says simply, and Noah did what he said. I mean, this Christian life stuff is so complicated. We walk with God, we listen when He speaks, and we do what He says. May God help us to do that. And you go through the heroes of faith. That's what faith is. We have a confidence that is focused on Him. It's a God-given ability to do that, but we have to put it into practice, and we do it against whatever the devil throws at us. And you see the so-called heroes of faith, every one of them. Now think in terms of where we started with this, a race marked out. Was there a race marked out for Abraham? Was his life just sort of random, believing in God? No, God gave him specific instructions, and he believed the promise. He acted on the promise, and God said, that's a righteous man. That's the foundation of all righteousness, is what is just absolutely believing in God's promise and provision, because we cannot do anything to save ourselves. It all has to come from Him. Thank God that it does. Thank God for the heart that He has revealed. I tell you, I want to walk with Him in this hour, don't you? I want this year to be defined by saying, God, I need You every hour. I want to go Your way. And so when Abraham was called, he went out, didn't he? He believed God, and we see the unfolding of, we see how faith is expressed in his life by leaving his family, going to a land he didn't know, living there as a foreigner, waiting about 25 years for the promised son when it was physically impossible, showing his willingness to sacrifice that son. I mean, you think about the depth of faith that God was building in him. So many things I've thought about. I just pray, God, bring out the things that we need. We are embarking on another year, and there's not one of us here that knows what's coming. But we serve one who does. And he is going to bring us a way that will test our faith. Now with Abraham, you see the test that he faced. You see the test that David faced. How about a man who was after God's own heart, who constantly said, lead me, you know, was wanting to be led. He was the one who wrote the 23rd Psalm that we heard sung about this morning. When he realized he had a shepherd, and even though he walked through the valley of the shadow, all these amazing things, and yet there came a time in his life when he fell in the mud deeply and failed. There may be times when the Lord has to allow that in our lives. You know, Hebrews 12 warns us about temptation, that there's going to be times when temptation is going to come. The truth is, if Satan is able to push our buttons, it just proves we got them. And God wants us to get the victory over our buttons. I've had some battles just getting up here this morning. Satan knows what buttons to push. But I'll tell you, I've got somebody who stands back sometimes and allows Satan to push those buttons so that I will recognize, number one, I got buttons. And now what do I do about it? Oh, God, you have given me a place to go. I can go to the Supreme Court of the universe. There's somebody there who invites me, who has made a way. I don't have to be afraid to go before a holy God in spite of my need, in the midst of my need. And what he's promised me is not justice, but mercy. And it's more than that. He just doesn't look on me with a kindly attitude and say, try harder. I mean, that's the Moses gospel. I need the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need the grace, the strength. And I'll tell you, everyone here that's serving the Lord, you're going to have times this year when Satan pushes your buttons. And what the Lord wants to accomplish by that, he's designed that for you. Remember, in all things, he's working for your good according to his purpose. His purpose is to make us like his Son. And he's guaranteed that nothing that comes against us can prevent him fulfilling that purpose. You just read Romans 8 again, the end of it. It's amazing. But when God stands back and lets Satan push our buttons, what is he after? Why would he do something like that? Does he not long for us to reach out to him and say, Lord, I am in need of your salvation right now. Lord, I don't, in face of my own need that I've become keenly, deeply aware of, I need to remember that your salvation still is perfect. It's just as wonderful, as great as when I'm just doing wonderful and I'm feeling your presence and I'm walking in victory. Your promise is just as real. When I'm struggling, when I don't have the feelings, when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, when I'm experienced oppression, all of those things, your promise is just as real. And I need to come to you and learn how to handle all of these different circumstances. Learn that faith is enough. You've given me, you've deposited this thing called faith in my heart. That's when I need to call upon that and look to you and believe that you have brought me into a kingdom that cannot be moved. You've given me a salvation that, and a Savior that's promised to carry me all the way through. He's promised to finish what he started. And he's able to do it. And no devil in hell can stop him. Thank God. This year, God's going to take us deeper. And I wish I could just say, oh, it's going to be wonderful. But you know, it can be if we have the right heart. If we learn how to be thankful in everything, if we learn how to rejoice evermore. In other words, faith looks beyond the immediate circumstance and the need and the things that we're feeling at the moment. Faith is able to look beyond that and say, God's promise is still there. What I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing right now hasn't changed God. This is not an indication that God's disgusted with me and doesn't care and is about to throw me out with the garbage. This just means he wants me to lift up my heart and look to him and believe him, maybe in ways that I've struggled. He's going to take me deeper. He's going to help me to exercise this thing. And I'm going to have to reach down deep, not just in me, but in what he has given me. And I'm going to have to never give up, never, ever take my eyes off of him. Oh, the minute I start looking at me, I'm in trouble. Everyone here is in trouble if you're looking in the mirror and trying to find strength and help to get through. Everyone. And if you're looking out at the world and the stuff that's happening, the stuff that might happen, oh my God, We just need him. Yeah, the Lord said all kinds of things are going to happen. They happened to these people in the Old Testament. David had to go through what he went through, but he came through it. And God brought him to a place of humbleness and awareness of his own need. He understood how he'd gotten in that place. He understood what his own heart was like. God had to do that with Paul, didn't he? Didn't God take him to a place where this formerly self-righteous Jew who had thought he knew how to serve God tried to do it by obeying the law? I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to live up to this. I'm going to honor God. And discovered he had no power to do it. Now, who arranged that? Did that just sort of happen? Or did God love his servant enough to take him through something where he discovered his own weakness and realized and he learned something about himself and he learned something about the Lord? He learned that there's a different way to serve God than I was taught growing up. It's that God comes in and he changes my heart and he gives me power and he's already put me to death. I don't have to live out that old Adam life that I got. He's brought me beyond that, but I've got to rise up and believe him in practice. It's wonderful to come in here and say, I believe him, if you're just thinking about what your mind says. But I'll tell you what, the kind of faith that's described in here is the faith that absolutely works on Sunday afternoon and evening and Monday and Tuesday and all the way through the week in every kind of circumstance. And say, God will, you know, I've heard people say today, more than one, this last year has been full of ups and downs. Well, guess what? So will this year. Praise God, ups and downs. There's going to be some downs. There's going to be times when we're going to want to hear his voice and he's going to be quiet. What do we do? What do you do? You know, I thought about a scripture that Brother Thomas used to use a lot and used to hear it. Isaiah 50. Anyone remember that one? Isaiah 50, the last couple of verses. You know, in that time, God spoke to people through prophets, didn't he? Didn't have the kind of personal relationship that's been made possible because of Christ. But nonetheless, he did speak to the people. And most of the people had a heart that was kind of closed to the mouths of the words of the prophets, and so they were just doing their own thing. But there was a remnant of people who did listen. And so in that light, he says, who among you... See, not everybody did. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light. Now, what do you do? Trust in the name of the Lord. Trust and rely on their God. In other words, we cannot allow faith to be dictated to by circumstances. God will absolutely put every one of his children in a place where you're not going to hear his voice right then. You're not going to have feelings. Does that mean he's left you? He said he'd be with you forever, but if he's with me, why don't I feel it? It doesn't work that way. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by feelings, not by any of these earthly senses. God's promise is absolutely true, and if our faith is going to grow up, not be like a little kid that's got to have candy all the time. If our faith is going to grow up, we're going to have to go through times when it will stand when everything else says something else. Every sense, everything we can see, all of our circumstances will say no. You know, we have that song, whenever circumstances say no. Well, they will. I promise you. I promise everyone here, you're going to go through times, if you're the Lord's, when he's going to seem like he's a million miles away. What do you do? Well, the prophet says, the Lord through the prophet says, let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord. There are going to be times when you're wondering what to do. Perplexity is part of it. Paul talked about that, didn't he? He was perplexed at times, not knowing what to do, but he wasn't in despair. Right? Okay? So here's the prescription. Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But now, here's the alternative to that, and this is what happens to the people who weren't listening for God's voice, didn't want to walk with Him. All you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches. You don't have any light, so we got to do something. We got to make something happen. I got to live my life. It's up to me. Go walk in the light of your fires. And of the torches you have set ablaze, this is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. There are going to be times when you're wondering what to do this year. What does the Lord want? He wants us to come to Him, believe His promises, believe that He will show us what we need to know when we need to know it. But there will be times when all we can do is just put the thing up to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. If any lack wisdom, what do? Ask. And He'll give it. But He doesn't say He's going to pop it right back down all the time. There are times we're just going to have to stand. And the temptation is going to be, well, I guess it's up to me. He's not answering. But is that faith? Is that walking with God? Is that persevering in the race that He set before us? Is that fighting the fight of faith? God will put you, I guarantee you, if you're His, God will put you at times in that circumstance to see what you do. What do? We need to look to Him and say, God, I don't know what to do. I want to do Your will. And I don't know what it is. And until You show me, I'm not going to do anything. And the world will be saying, you got to do something. You got to fix this. You got to do. I'm trusting in God. God wants to bring us to a place of submission and rest. Oh, may God help us. Don't you believe He is? He longs for us to walk this way. You know, I thought of another scripture we've heard many times in the past. And it's a promise in Isaiah 42. And I'm sure this has more than one application, but oftentimes that's the way the word is. God can speak and He can take that word and apply it in many ways. But He says in Isaiah 42, verse 16, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. That alone is a pretty good prescription against just going by tradition, doesn't it? When the Israelites were in the wilderness, what defined where they were and what they did? I mean, I realize they had a lot of unbelievers there, but God's presence settled on the tabernacle meant we stay here until He leaves, until He says. Then when it went up, okay, it's time to go. Pack up. Let's get ready to go. And they didn't know where to go, did they? God didn't put them out there and say, now you get up a committee and work on your provisions and all your you know, handle, get a committee to defend you against your enemies and all these things. God provided for them 100%. That's what God wants for us, to come to that place where we learn. We're not passive and just, I'm just going to live my life and it's all up to Him. Or I've got to plan it all out. There's a middle ground where we are actively looking to the Lord and saying, God, I want Your will and I'm going to trust You to show me what I need to know when I need to know it. End of story. And when You tell me, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to trust You for the strength to do it. I mean, it all comes from Him, doesn't it? But isn't that the life that God has defined for us? Running the race, the agon, the thing that has opposition to it, but doing it just like Jesus did with perseverance. So there's that word, Reed, sorry about that, but it's in there. It means we always, there's a quality in here that always looks to Him in every kind of circumstances, good, bad, or indifferent. Nothing changes His promise. Nothing changes His purpose. He uses everything to help us grow up. Even Job was able to say, He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Did Peter talk about the trial of our faith being like gold that's purified? God's gonna take us through all kinds of paths this year. But the one thing he wants is for us to be like Noah, to walk with him, for that to be the defining characteristic of our lives this year. I'm not part of this world. I'm going to read one other thing that I did forget to read in this Isaiah 42. But there's an interesting perspective on blindness down in verse 18. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant? Now, who's the servant here? He's talking about this Messiah who is to come. He's talking about Jesus. You mean Jesus is blind? What in the world does that mean? That doesn't make any sense. Jesus could see. Who is blind, my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? What in the world is he talking about? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me? Blind like the servant of the Lord. Here is what it is. You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. Folks, we of all people in the world are in a position to hear what the world is saying, to see what it's doing, and to say, I'm not going by that. I don't have to listen to that. My life is not defined by what the world says and what's going on in the world. I can be deaf and blind to the world, but have ears that are open and eyes that are open to hear and see what he says and what he's doing. And to know that even though I don't know personally, God always has me walking by faith. There are many things I don't know that are maybe about to happen. He does. But he's faithful. And he has promised never to leave me, never to forsake me, and to finish what he started. Let these things define our lives this year. God has a plan this year. There will be decisions that some of you will have to make. Real life changing decisions. Do you think God cares? Is he interested in those things? Yeah, if he can keep track of the hairs on your head, I guess he can handle life's big decisions. What does he want? Someone whose heart is just to walk with him, and when he speaks, to do what he says. God can give peace. He can give wisdom. He can give direction when we need it. If he's not saying anything right now, then we have every reason just to say, Lord, I'm just asking, but I'm also trusting. I'm not going to sit here in a state of anxiety. I'm going to enjoy the peace that passes understanding that you promised. I don't have to live in anxiety. I can bring those anxious thoughts to you, but I don't have to live there. Oh, I'll tell you, God has planned your life and mine this year. May God give us the ability to be in tune with that. To let that again be the defining characteristic of our lives, that we believe him, we draw upon the resources, our eyes are defined by the promises of his, our hearts are defined by the promises he's given, and we know that one day we're going to stand beside the people that he talks about in chapter 11. We're going to stand there on that shore and praise him. And I don't know I don't know when he's coming. I know he is. I know whatever we need to know between now and then, he will help us. We don't have to simply replicate tradition. We can come and look to the Lord and recognize him as a resident, active head of the church, without whom we can do nothing. May God help us to have that kind of a heart towards him and look to him and expect that the one who has told us to do that is going to do his part. That's all he's looking for. Walk with him, listen for his voice, and do what he says. May God help us this year to do that with all of our hearts. And God will be with us. If Jesus comes today, praise God, you can forget everything I said. We're going to be going with him. But I have a feeling that there will be people right here who will pass from this earthly scene before that happens. I don't know. But whenever it is, God knows the day and he knows the hour. And whatever he has called us to go to experience, in this earthly journey is something that He has set before us. He has marked out our race, not some general vague thing. He's marked out your race this year. May God give us the faith and the consciousness to say, God, I want to be a partner with You. I want to hear Your voice. I want to walk with You through this year. And expect that You're going to accomplish part of that glorious eternal purpose. You're making me ready to live there. You're shaping the puzzle piece so that it goes right where it's supposed to go. Praise God. Don't we have an awesome God? Praise God. So let's run with that perseverance that He didn't want me to talk about, but we need the race that's set before us. And always our eyes are fixed on the source of our help, the source of our purpose, the source of everything. And like Noah, we're with Him, which means we're against what the world stands for. It's not a hateful spirit, but I'm not tuned into what this world says or what it thinks. I'm tuned into what He wants. And He who called me is faithful, and He will finish what He started. To Him be the glory. Praise God.